It's the Go Green Mill Coaches Show, live from the Green Mill. The
river. WMIA, SmackDown, Translator W300BP, Grand Rapids.
92.1 and 107.9, The River.
Beaver Radio Network.
It's the Go Green Mill Coaches Show on WMIS FM, The River.
Nate Arntz comes in on his
back. It's the Go Green Mill Coaches Show. Get the latest info from BSU Athletics, from the players, coaches, and teams. From the shores of Lake Bemidji. Now let's head to the Go Green headquarters for the Go Green Mill Coaches Show on WMIS FM, The River.
Good evening and welcome to the Green Mill, Go Green Mill Coaches Show here on the Beaver Radio Network. Turned out to be a pretty darn nice sunny Wednesday. Let's hope the weather holds for homecoming week. The football game on Saturday as Southwest Minnesota State's Mustangs come to town. Street dance and all that to follow. We'll chat to Beaver homecoming, Beaver football with, you know, homecoming weekend alums are supposed to come back to town. This alum hasn't left town yet. Matt Valentine was the starting left tackle for the Beavers for ever, it seems. Still in town, finishing up some classes. Joining us tonight here, Matt. Certainly appreciate you taking the time to join us tonight.
Thanks for having me.
When you hear the words Beaver football, and granted, it's only been a year since you played, but what's some of the first things that come to your mind?
Well, tradition, I'd say homecoming, and just a legacy of, good hard-nosed football.
How hard has it been for you here? As this has got to be the first time you haven't gone to football practice for yourself. You're a coach now, but what's that been like?
Actually, it's kind of weird not having practice for about 14 years now, but the body definitely feels a lot better than it did. I'm guessing it'll sink in a little more. I haven't been to a game yet, so Saturday might be a little different for me. So,
you are coaching, so you still have that hands-on interaction with the game. Once the game of football's in you, it never leaves. And I kind of feel sorry for females all across North America that, generally speaking, they don't get the chance to play. I remember when my high school career was done, I knew I was done playing football. Wasn't nearly as good as this guy was, Biz. Got done with that last game my senior year, and I put all my pads on Sunday in my room. And my mom walked by, and she couldn't figure out what in the hell I was doing. When you know, Matt, that your last game is upon you last year, granted, you went out with a Mineral Water Bowl win, which is as good as you can imagine. When did it sink in that you're done playing?
Well, it was super weird because it was senior weekend when we played Crookston. We had no idea that we were gonna make the Mineral Water Bowl.
True.
So we kind of experienced it twice because we didn't find out till Tuesday. So, Sunday came around and you're like, wow, I'm done with football. And then Tuesday came and you're like, well, we got another game to play here in a couple weeks.
Go back to practice.
So, but it took a couple weeks. Just to sink in that you don't have to turn around and start lifting weights again and preparing for spring ball. So. It's definitely a different feeling, though, not having to go around.
Well, so much of the experience of playing on a football team, especially at the level you're at, a lot of the players that come through the years always talk about it was more about the people than the games. But is there any specific game or two that from your career that stand out to you?
Well, our first game back, I think it was 2013, first game against Winona. When we were down, 24 points in the second half, had a couple defensive touchdowns, and it went to overtime, and somehow we pulled that one out. That was definitely one of the highlights. Other than that, the shootout against Duluth last year was definitely one of them, because how many times do you see 49 points put up in a fourth quarter? But I ended up losing that one, but that definitely stands out too. But
all right, let's rewind. You're from Little Falls. I don't want to bring up a bad sore subject here, but Little Falls High School football doesn't have a great tradition.
There really isn't a tradition.
What was it about what they offered you in practice and games every day to get you ready, got you ready to come here?
I'd say more of just being a three-sport athlete, more than football-wise. And just being more of an athletic kid than anything else, because like you said, we really don't have much of a tradition down in Little Falls, but we win our three games every year. And I'd say, yeah, just playing basketball and baseball and foot speed and everything was the thing that really helped me more than football.
Can you imagine him playing basketball this?
I wouldn't want to be in the lane. I wouldn't take a charge, I can tell you that much. Get out of the way.
Safe to say football was your favorite, though?
Yeah. Yeah. But basketball's a close second, so. And now I live with Ben Best, Adam Jacobson, and Christian Pekarik, and
bunch of basketball guys.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we get together, we play some basketball on the side here and there.
I can imagine you're the post-up player. I mean, you'd be pretty hard to move down in the paint.
Well, I got to deal with 6'9 Ben Best more than anything.
You're right,
so,
yeah.
He's got to try to back you down off the post, though, too.
Yeah.
Obviously, playing college athletics is so much more about just the games and just about the practices. You somehow have to figure out how to get into the books and get all your classwork done. How long did it take you to figure out that routine of what it would take to get ready on both the athletic and the academic side?
Right away, freshman year, you get tossed into study tables, and you have to get up every morning and sign in on your position coach's door to make sure you're going to class, because your mom and dad aren't there anymore to make you go to school. So that was definitely helpful. So it took a couple weeks, though. You know, just trying to balance everything and whatnot.
Well, and it's definitely different than high school. And I mean, remember that my transition, I mean, I was horrible. I think I got like a 2.0 or something my first quarter back then. But because it was such an adjustment, I mean, high school seemed like such a breeze. You get to college and it's not the same. Did you experience any of that?
Yeah, I definitely struggled the first year more than I wanted to, I'd say. So.
What and your major is?
I'm a physical ed, health ed.
Okay, so teacher down the line, right?
Gonna try to be, yep.
When I was done with college, I was done with school.
Well,
that's just me, though.
Yeah, well, we all need teachers, too. And I would imagine, I mean, because you're helping to coach, what, JV?
Yep, I'm doing a practicum right now with the Lumberjack football team, so I've been working with some JV games and practices over there. So,
well, one, I mean, I'd assume they'd be listening to you because of your size. You know, you're a lot bigger than they are, but two, the experience that you bring.
Yeah, they have a really good coaching staff over there, so I'm just whatever they need me to do, I kind of fill in and don't get to, you know. So
help with the offensive line, I'm imagining.
Yep, the Stoffel over there does really well, really good job. So whatever he needs me to do, I'd gladly help him. So
another former Beaver,
yes,
Brian Stoffel.
And did you always play offensive line, or did you play defense at all ever?
I played defensive line every now and then, but was never very good at it. So
offensive line, you knew was going to be your calling.
Yeah.
And did they recruit you, or did you just, you knew you wanted to come up here? How did that work?
Coach Tesh stopped by the high school and a couple times here and there, and ended up getting an opportunity to come up here, and I'm very grateful for that. So,
was there any other schools in the running?
There's a few FCS schools right away, and then I was super small in high school. So
you're not now.
And so super small means what?
Like 240 pounds or so back in high school, and then some other NSIC schools too. So.
So you come to Bemidji State. That redshirt year for any college football player is such an important year. How much sheer muscle mass did you put on that first year?
I don't know if it's sheer muscle mass totally, but I put on about 50 pounds freshman year. So.
Wow. Well, go with muscle mass.
Yeah.
That has got to take a toll on your knees and your ankles and your joints.
Yeah.
How much time did you spend in the training room?
A lot. So. And it just got more and more every year as I got older, too.
Well, it's an unheralded position as well. I mean, I certainly think as the offensive line goes, so goes the team pretty much. But yet, because of the sport and, you know, you're not scoring touchdowns or kicking field goals, it kind of goes unnoticed unless you're not very good. What motivated you to, I guess, be an offensive lineman and
I wasn't very fast as a kid, and I was a little bit bigger than everyone else, so I didn't really have much of a choice at position. So, but I enjoy it. There's something, it takes a special kind of person to go to work every day, and you don't get your name called, and you just do the same thing over and over. But you definitely take pride when the team scores, and you can succeed, you know, as a group. So.
Well, let's not kid ourselves, Biz. those guys as freshmen got thrown into the wolves.
Yeah.
And maybe took their lumps for a half a season their freshman year. But after that point, it was one of the best offensive lines in the Northern Sun Conference.
Well, no doubt. And again, how the offensive line goes, and we've seen it year in and year out, that kind of dictates really kind of how the team ends up playing. It's such an important factor. And like, look at the Vikings last year. I mean, every Viking fan in the world will tell you, oh, our offensive line was horrible last year. When it's good, it seems that people don't seem to notice. But when it's bad, boy, that really stands out. How long did it take you guys to gel? I mean, because obviously every year, you know, you might be losing a player or two, and that's chemistry is important on the offensive line.
Well, we got tossed in as freshmen, Jesse Hine and I, and, I mean, playing as an 18-year-old, and you're facing guys that are 22, 23 that are just naturally they're stronger than you and everything.
Yep.
So it definitely, that first year was rough, but last year we were lucky enough to play with each other for two full years across the line, so that was... It was definitely big, just nonverbal stuff that you knew that that person was going to do, and they were going to be right there and doing that job. So that was definitely big last year with chemistry-wise.
Ben Johnson was the other senior offensive lineman last year, right?
Yep.
When did he come into the mix?
I think he started as junior, came in 2 years ago.
And, you know, I think a lot of people think you're nuts for playing the offensive line. I mean, you do take a beating, right?
Mm-hmm.
And do you remember any, you know, I would think a block would be the highlight for you, right? Do you remember any big blocks that either sprung a big run or you just pancaked a guy?
There was a block my junior year at Southwest Minnesota State. It was a screen play, and I ended up about 50 yards down the field and got my... Got my hands on a safety and kind of went down.
Tossed
to the ground.
Him to the side.
Yeah, and Brad, I don't remember his name, ended up taking it all the way to the house, and that was it was pretty cool.
Well, the left tackle is the highest paid position in the NFL for the offensive line, because you got to protect the quarterback.
The backside of the quarterback,
yes.
Usually.
With a mobile quarterback like Jordy Hine the last couple of years. How difficult is it to protect his backside when you don't know where his backside is going?
Well, lucky enough, last year for the most part, we could make a pretty good pocket. So last year he seemed like he stood in the pocket a little more and made his passes. But, I mean, when you run around and you don't know where he's going behind you and all of a sudden your defense alignment takes off running, there's not much you can do. So it's difficult, but it's not too bad when he steps in and throws and, you know, it's pretty beyond target. So
what was that relationship like with Jesse and Jordy?
It was good. There was a lot of brother bickering, I would say, but it was always for the good of it, and it always seemed to work out.
Well, generally speaking, the center is the only one that can go get in the face of a quarterback because they have that relationship.
And if you're the older brother, you got an extra...
Well, then I think the quarterback would take offense to it. Could the rest of you go talk to Jordy?
Oh, yeah.
Or did everything come through Jesse?
Well, Jesse was definitely the, I would say, the head of the offense last year, and if you ever had a problem, you'd go to him. But, no, I think anybody could have went up to him and said anything, but definitely if you wanted a point to get across, I think you would go to Jesse and he would take care of the situation. So,
well, the season last year, there was some bad points. I mean, from an offensive perspective, you guys lit it up.
Yeah, we had a pretty good year, but I think we could have had a little bit better of a year. But you have those, you know, looking back and those thoughts. But for the most part, there was a couple moments here and there.
Well, you can always go back and second guess, but from an overall perspective offensively, I mean, I don't know if you could put up more points per game on average.
I think we put up about 45 points a game last year. And I think
almost 600 yards.
Yeah, like 500 and some yards.
There's a way to get better than that? I mean, obviously winning the games that you lost, but I mean, from an offensive production perspective, holy cow.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. I mean, and it was pretty balanced out. I think we had just under... I think we had a 1,000-yard rusher, and I think a couple other people were right up there around there. So.
And the run and gun, which college football at your level had become, you like that style, or would you prefer to grind it out?
My first couple of years here, we were more of a grind it out power football team, and then it kind of developed into this. And it's just the way college football is going now. You don't see many teams besides, you know, maybe Alabama and a couple big powerhouses that do the under center, you know, power football. So it's kind of happened with the time.
That's got to be a huge adjustment from a fitness perspective. I mean, you were playing a lot more plays in that style than you were the old style.
Yeah, it was We worked out a lot. I mean, did a lot more conditioning, especially as an offensive line group, too. Last year, we got together and did some running just because we knew that, I mean, receivers rotate every couple plays, and for an offensive lineman, you're out there every play. You don't get a rotate. Yeah. So we did some extra conditioning, and that helped a lot, too. So
to put things into perspective for the listeners, when I moved to town in 2004, Beaver scored a lot of points that year.
They did.
But they ran...
60.
On average, 60 plays a game.
Yeah.
Augustana on Saturday ran 102 plays. They had several penalties. It was 109 total snaps the defense for the Beavers had to be on the field
for. Wow.
41 minutes of possession Augustana had.
Yeah.
And it went to overtime.
Well, that was a bizarre game.
There was some
to listen to. I'm sure it was even more bizarre to watch.
There was a couple games last year where it seemed like that, where we were putting up points, but we were only on the field for 15, 16 minutes.
Yeah.
And you feel bad, especially when you go out there and let's say you go three and out, and your defense has to go right back out there. And
it's taken 8 seconds.
Yeah, well, it's more like you guys three and we've just scored. Go back out there again, and then you get the ball back. Four more plays. Sorry, we just scored in a minute and 12 seconds. Go back out there.
Yeah, you kind of feel bad, but I mean,
nature of the beast, right?
It is what it is. Homecoming is upon us this week at Bemidji State. They will take on the Southwest Minnesota State Mustangs Saturday at 2. It is a pregame show at 1:30. We take a break. Back with more with last year's starting left tackle, graduated Matt Valentine, our guest tonight. The Go Green Mill Coaches Show here on the Beaver Radio Network.
It's the Go Green Mill Coaches Show, live from the Green Mill on WMIS-FM 92.1 The River.
If you have an athlete living in your home, you know you need a good fridge to hold all the food, a microwave to heat it up quick, a dishwasher to stash the dishes, and most important, a heavy-duty washer and dryer to wash those not-so-pleasant-smelling jerseys. Hi, this is Becky from Benusa. FEMCY, Benusa does it better. Benusa Appliance Sales and Service, now located just behind Sanford Walk-In Clinic on Minn Kota Avenue.
You're gonna love getting used to Benusa.
Every day made better at Hot Spring Spas and Pool Tables too. $1,000, that's right. $1,000 is what you'll save with our instant rebate. All hot tubs in stock are on sale and an additional $1,000 off on all High Life models. Get into a hot tub with an Ace saltwater system and make your life much easier and better. Because every day is made better at Hot Spring Spas and Pool Tables too. So look for the big duck across from Target.
Marketplace Food. Here at Marketplace Foods, we are proud of our Angus Pride beef, and for good reason. Only the top 20% of choice Angus beef qualifies to be Angus Pride. Consistently well-marbled, tender, and sure to please, Angus Pride is without a doubt the city's finest. Expertly cut and trimmed by our staff, Marketplace is the place for beef. So when you want the best, stop in to Marketplace.
Little ones are watching, learning, copying, mimicking, mirroring. They're developing their unique personalities based on what you do. When you make the choice to save energy, they will too. Be the lead they want to follow. Visit otpco.com/saveenergy to learn about available rebates. Ottertail Power Company.
Green Mill presents Really, Really Deep Thoughts with Paul and John.
John, Mom always said, when life gives you lemons, make lemonade. I say, when life gives you thick, juicy tomato sauce, real cheese, and piles of fresh ingredients, make a Green Mill deep dish style pizza and say, thanks, life.
Now that's some mouth-watering wisdom, Paul. Green Mill deep dish pizza, inspiring deep thoughts for over 40 years.
Green Mill pizza, pasta, beer and wings.
And legendary deep dish pizza.
We'll see you at the mill.
This isn't going to work. No matter what we say, some people still drive drunk. But we're Budweiser. Giving a damn is what we do. So, if you think it's okay to drive drunk, if you think it's something that's debatable, or you just simply don't care, this Bud is not for you. Give a damn. Don't drive drunk. Enjoy responsibly. Budweiser Beer, Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis, Missouri.
Back to the Go Green Mill Coaches Show.
Welcome back to the Green Mill. Go Green Mill Coaches Show here on the Beaver Radio Network. We've got a game tonight on the Beaver Radio Network.
It's hockey season, Brian.
It is.
Apparently.
Still officially summer.
It is still officially summer.
Till Friday. And the Korean National Women's Hockey Team is across the parking lot over there ready to play a game against the Beavs.
So we've got a... our show tonight here.
Short
at the,
show. We'll be here till 7 and certainly invite you to, if you're here, head over there. And if you're at home, certainly switch on over to 1300 The Legends around
Line. There's people sitting on the beach. Com.
I know, and we're playing hockey.
This is not Florida.
Yeah.
But hockey gets started early.
Homecoming week here. Our guest is Matt Valentine, graduated last year after a stellar career as the left tackle for the Beaver football team. Jumping into Lake Bemidji, when was the first time you heard of that tradition?
I think it was back in like my junior year, and I just kind of heard about it.
Through, of high school?
Yep, and just kind of heard about it and never really looked into it until probably when I got to camp. I kind of looked it up on YouTube just to kind of know what to expect, and it's definitely a lot of fun.
The story of this, for those that don't remember how it all happened, 1993. A graduate assistant coach had the idea after the team started 0-4 that he was going to write a quote-unquote post-game story about the homecoming game a week before the game was actually played. And he wrote that the Beaver defense dammed up the Mustangs, the offense was spectacular, and in a fit of jubilation, the Beavers jumped into Lake Bemidji after a homecoming win. They passed these flyers out around town or around campus, in the dorms and the classrooms and the hallways. Sure thing, the Beavers won, and away they went to Lake Bemidji, and a tradition was born.
Which seemed like a natural tradition, actually. I'm surprised it didn't get started earlier. There's not many football fields on a lake.
Never won this.
Well, they had won, but not many times in that time frame. But you got, what, 4-0? Were you 4-0 for homecoming?
Yeah, and then redshirt year, I was lucky enough to jump in there, too. So I got in the five.
All five?
Yeah.
I think I've read it's 8 straight homecoming wins.
Wow, okay. And was there ever, you know, it's hard for me to remember because most of the time it's been pretty nice up, but it can get cold if homecoming's in October. Was it ever, like, where you dreaded going into the lake because it was so cold, even though you just got done playing football?
That was 2 years ago. It was raining. It was super cold. We played Southwest that year, and it was super cold. And to be honest, the lake was warmer than the air temperature. So it actually kind of felt good until you had to get out of the lake and then go stand and try to make small talk with your parents and try to cut it short because you were so cold standing out there wet. So,
ironically, in 1993, the first time it happened, the Beavers played Southwest.
Oh. And here they come back again.
And here they come again.
25 years later.
Yeah. Who was your favorite? What was your favorite road trip?
I'd say St. Cloud State. I just, being from Little Falls and having family so close, and it always seemed like I had a lot of friends and family at that game. But, and it's just an area I know really well, and I know a lot of people from St. Cloud too. So
the coaches have done a great job of doing some fun stuff with you guys on the Friday night. I know the pig roast down in Iowa before the Upper Iowa games is always a big hit. What were some of the other stuff that you guys did as a team that had nothing to do with football that you're always going to remember?
Oh, man. That's a tough question. That the trip down to Excelsior Springs last year, we left the day earlier than normal, stayed in the cities, and then we got down to Excelsior Springs, and we could go in the pool, we could have, you know, go around the hotel and stuff, and then the next day we went to Kansas City because it was only like a 45-minute trip, and it just kind of turned us loose in this big shopping mall that's right by, right down by the Speedway down there, and where they used to play the D2 National Championship, and just walking around there, and other than that, just hanging out with the guys, I guess. I mean,
well, you guys don't have a ton of time on the road. Mm-mm. Where you're not either on the practice field with a walkthrough, eating, or in meetings.
Yeah.
Or sleeping.
And by the time meetings are done, it's about time to go to bed. So there's not much free time on the road. So,
from a blocking perspective, there is pass blocking and run blocking. Did you have a preference?
I like pass blocking. I know, a lot more than run blocking.
Really? See, yep. I would think run blocking, you can do some damage. I mean, you're the one maybe controlling where you're going and more than pass blocking.
Yeah, I was just a little bit better at pass blocking, I thought. I enjoyed that, just not knowing what that guy's going to do and having to read him. So,
how let down do you get if you get a holding penalty? Because, I mean, that's one that will draw attention. Holding, you get your number called. Yeah.
Get let down and get really, really angry at the same time. So
that next play is always your best block of the day, isn't it?
Yeah.
What about giving up a sack? In the way that you guys played offensive line, it didn't happen very often, but it's so unpredictable, I could see where, Jordy almost might run into a sack.
Yeah, that definitely gets you a little more mad than the penalty, because the guy beats you and you don't beat yourself, like on a penalty. Mm-hmm. So sack kind of stays with you a little bit longer than you'd hope. So
when I was in high school, and granted this was a long time ago, football practice was run all day on Monday, hit all day Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, play Friday.
Oh.
Times have changed. Obviously for the better.
Yeah, you beat yourself up before the game. What in the world?
We didn't have the smartest of coaches. Do you like the way that football is going away from the hitting every single day and limiting the number of hits the guys are taking?
Kind of, not really. I mean, Monday we don't have practice on Mondays, and then Tuesday, Wednesday was full go, and then Thursday half pads, Friday was just helmets. But just the way the game's going, and I guess by the time I'd say what kind of the time of the year it was, I mean, I think you should hit right away and go through your fundamental tackling and blocking and everything, but as the season goes, you should have that stuff down for the most part and have to spend less time on it. But
well, they're now limiting in high school the number of full pad practices that they can even have.
Mm-hmm.
A fundamental suffering?
It's hard to say. I haven't really been around enough to know, but it's a lot. You have to do a lot more in the time that you have. You know what I mean? So if you only get a couple days a week, then you got to really go in those couple times a week. But
well, I would imagine, too, there's a pro and a con. I mean, the pro being, obviously, physically, you're maybe a little, you're healthier, not as dinged up. But the con being, if you don't have that physical interaction, are you really practicing reality of how you're going to be playing the position?
That's a thing, too. So I guess we'll have to find out next time here. So,
how many concussions did you have in your playing days?
Two. Mm. So they're not fun, that's for sure.
I referee high school football. I know where we're going. I think the time is coming pretty quickly where any hit above the shoulder in high school football is now going to be a 15-yard penalty. I think that time is within a couple of years of happening.
Hmm.
In fact, the game that we were reffing on Friday night, quarterbacks slipped because it was pouring rain. So all of a sudden his head drops. The defensive player was already coming in for a tackle.
Right.
You can't change your contact zone.
That's part of the problem. I mean, the game's a moving target, so
it was a helmet-to-helmet hit. And the flag came flying. And the coach said, well, he slipped. And I said, I understand that, but the onus is on the defensive player to make that tackle legal every single time, no matter what the offensive guy does.
Yeah, but how can you change the course of your trajectory in a second?
It's 15 yards. Wow. Flat out, it's 15 yards now, Bates. That didn't go. We're not putting the toothpaste back in the tube on that rule. It's only going to expand on that rule. Things will change.
Well, and they have been. I mean, obviously, safety becoming much more of a factor, and certainly the awareness around it has become, increased significantly. But it's still, it's a game.
It's there's a contact going, sport.
Yeah,
it's going to happen.
There's going to happen. You can
you
do as much
to limit
as you
the
want.
Number of times that it happens.
Well, and certainly hits to the head. There's no reason for somebody to go tackling, but there is going to be where guys diving and you're moving and you accidentally hit their head. I mean, there's going to be contact to the head incidentally,
and it's
no matter what you do.
And it's still going to be 15 yards.
Well, even if the guy's on the ground and, your knee to the head, does that count? Not purposefully. You're tackling a guy, he falls down, and your knee hits his head.
A forearm to the helmet is a 15-yard
penalty.
Well,
that should be a 15-yard penalty. Head-to-head should be a 15-yard penalty.
Just saying, Biff.
Yeah, well. Safety first, right?
Yeah. Other than concussions, how many injuries did you have? Let me rephrase that. Every football player is injured from the time the season starts to the time it ends. How many serious injuries were there?
I was lucky enough not to have any, to be honest.
Wow.
I
think
no ankles, no knees, no nothing, no shoulders, no...
I think maybe a dislocated finger a time or two, maybe a sprained ankle, high ankle sprain. But other than that, I was lucky enough to not experience one serious injury. So.
Coaches love guys who are at practice every day.
Yeah, and show up every day for the games. I mean, reliable. Well, what was the season like for you? I mean, you play the season out. Do you take a break and then you get back to it in the spring? So you just kind of leave football behind and let it go for a little while before you crank it back up?
We usually got a couple weeks after the season, and then you start lifting before Christmas break. And then when you come back, you start really getting into your full swing, lifting every week, passing practice.
So it's a year-round deal, basically.
Yep. And then spring ball, it doesn't take long for that to start up in end of March, April, and then most kids stay up here in the summer and work out. And really, it's pretty much a year-round ordeal.
That culture changed here in the last couple of years. Are you proud to be a part of that change?
Yeah. It was, I've been up here every summer since freshman year, and then you just saw more and more people joining it, and I think this summer going into my senior year, we had 50 guys or so up here, which was huge in the lifting aspect, and then we did player-run practices two, three times a week. So when we got to camp, our whole playbook was installed. So, I mean, we could spend time on other things other than installing plays.
Well, it's interesting that, that's the time to live here, Matt. Is the summer. You probably discovered that. It's a whole different world in the summertime here.
A little bit warmer, that's for sure.
A little bit warmer, a lot more going on.
Yeah.
Outdoors, anyway. There's a lot going on all year.
There's a lot of water and such down by Little Falls as well.
Oh, true.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What's the, Sinclair Lewis? Is that the guy? No, who's the famous, Charles Lindbergh.
Charles Lindbergh.
Yeah, Sinclair Lewis is Sox center, is that right?
Little Falls Flyers, it's... aviation there, best.
Yeah, well, that makes sense. Charles Lindbergh, right?
Yep.
The birthplace?
The birthplace and childhood home.
So have you been there?
Yeah, it's they have it, like, it's part of the state park down in Little Falls, the Lindbergh State Park. So they got the house all stored up and everything, and they run tours and whatnot. So.
And they have a big art fair, I think, around Labor Day or something.
And I live right across the street from it. So,
so that's why you stayed here.
Yeah.
Matt, we certainly appreciate your time tonight. Again, you had a fantastic career here.
Thank you.
Certainly wish you the best with the coaching endeavors and certainly finishing up school as well, and enjoy the game on Saturday.
Thank you.
Matt Valentine graduated last season. Joining us tonight, the reigning Northern Sun Conference Special Teams Player of the Week, Isaac Onorud, joins us next. Go Green Mill Coaches Show here on the Beaver Radio Network.
You're listening to the Go Green Mill Coaches Show.
Green Mill presents Really, Really Deep Thoughts with Paul and John.
John, Mom always said, when life gives you lemons, make lemonade. I say, when life gives you thick, juicy tomato sauce, real cheese, and piles of fresh ingredients, make a Green Mill deep dish style pizza and say, thanks, life.
Now that's some mouth-watering wisdom, Paul. Green Mill Deep Dish Pizza, inspiring deep thoughts for over 40 years.
Green Mill Pizza, Pasta, Beer and Wings,
and legendary Deep Dish Pizza.
We'll see you at the mill.
Yeah, the thirst is real.
Yeah, I know. What are those?
These are Brisk iced teas. They're mad good. Try this Brisk blueberry lemonade and this Brisk strawberry melon. They're as refreshing as a midnight dip in a penthouse pool.
What do you know about penthouses?
Just try it.
Whoa, these are amazing.
That's Brisk. But, can I get my Brisk back now?
Cool down this summer with your favorite Brisk iced tea. Distributed by Nye Bottling Bemidji.
I'm the neighbor with the orange tractor. I plant, grow, harvest, haul, and feed. Caring for the land is a responsibility we all share out here. For our families, for us all. Right now, a Kubota M7 can be yours with zero down and 0% financing for up to 60 months. Now through September 30, 2017, see Acme Tools for details about costs and terms. See the full line of Kubota at Acme Tools, Highways 2 and 71 North, Bemidji.
Are you a Christian looking to align your faith and finances? Then you'll want to check out Thrivent Financial. We're not your typical financial services provider. We're a not-for-profit Fortune 500 organization that helps our nearly 2.4 million members be wise with money. We provide guidance that reflects your values so you can protect what matters most. We help members live generously and strengthen the communities where they live, work, and worship. Learn more about the Thrivent story by contacting me, Financial Associate Alan Zutz at 444-0202.
Hi, Dan the Chevy Man here from Donlinger GM in Bemidji. You want tough trucks? We've got them. How about the Chevy Silverado half ton, three quarter ton, and one ton? How about the GMC Sierra half ton, three quarter ton, and one ton? And if that's not enough, how about the Chevy Colorado or GMC Canyon, the hottest midsize trucks on the market? So if you're thinking trucks, look no further than Donlinger GM, home of the tough trucks. Check us out online at DonlingerBemidji.com. Chevy, find new roads.
The Taco Blitz at Taco John's is your ticket to the year's biggest football game and other super prizes. Team a crispy or soft shell taco with one of four burritos, plus your choice of 20-ounce fountain beverage. But wait, it gets bigger, because with each Taco Blitz, you get a chance to win awesome prizes, like gift cards and two tickets to the big game in Minneapolis on February 4th. Get the Taco Blitz. Crush hunger. Win big. For a limited time, only at Taco John's.
It's the Go Green Mill Coaches Show.
Live from the Green Mill.
On WMIS-FM 92.1 The River.
Welcome back to the Green Mill. Go Green Mill Coaches Show here on the Beaver Radio Network. Kel has already begun her Bonusa pregame show. Across the parking lot here. Korean national team taking on the BSU women's hockey team. That begins just after 7. Catch that 1300 The Legends online, BeaverRadioNetwork.com. Because of that, we'll only be on until 7 here tonight.
Right.
Beaver football team lost in overtime last week. One of the craziest games there ever was. Joined by the Northern Sun Conference Special Teams Player of the Week, kicker Isaac Onerud. Drilled a 38-yard field goal as time expired to tie it. Ike, congratulations.
Thank you very much.
You and I were talking here during the break. South Dakota, the wind is always blowing there. At what point do you tell Coach Bolte, Coach Orich, special teams coordinator, where you need to be, what your range is for that day?
So with the wind the way it was changing all the time. And at the particular time that we were making down that last drive, we had to get the ball, you know, to where I can have, at the bare minimum, a 45-yard field goal would be the longest I would even have the leg strength to get through that wind the way it was last Saturday.
Does that change if the wind changes? Do you go back up to coach and say, Coach, wind's changed. I think I can hit it from 50?
Right, absolutely. And with that situation at the end of the game, I mean, we weren't going to throw a Hail Mary or anything like that. They knew they wanted to put me out on the field for that last opportunity. So I don't think it really mattered in Coach Bolte's mind where we were really on the field. It was, you know, Ike, you're going to go out there and you're going to kick the ball as hard as you can or as far as you can. And if it goes in, it goes in. You know, give us a, he was basically just trying to get me an opportunity, you know, to give our team a chance to go on into overtime.
So their kicker squibs the kickoff. Were you thinking offense taking over somewhere about the 30 and now all of a sudden, oh, we're getting into midfield?
Right.
Now I really have to get myself ready to go?
Right. When I saw that there was like 22 seconds left on the clock when they kicked off, I thought no way in heck were we. I mean, because the offensive production throughout the day wasn't too great, so I wasn't sure, you know, if we even had the opportunity to get the ball into field goal position with the way the wind was. And mentioning that squib kick, which I don't know why they did that, yeah, it did. It was kind of like a light bulb. I was like, oh, shoot, I better get, you know, kind of mentally locked in for that last opportunity that we ended up getting.
As the snap is coming, I don't even remember who was holding for that one.
You've it was Gunner.
We've had two holders this year, which confuses me because I never know which one's going out there. So the snap's coming to Gunner. It was a good snap.
Yes, absolutely.
Is there a light bulb click in your head?
Yeah, I mean, it was nice, too, because, I mean, I didn't think Gunner really even realized, and he didn't take any snaps during the game, because Gunner kind of holds for my field goals, and Jared does the PATs, because we do a different kind of scheme on the PATs, so we have Jared in there. So we got Gunner a few snaps on the sideline, because we were like, okay, we're going to have this opportunity here, and Nico is, you know, he is an awesome snapper. I mean, he has been since the day he came in here. And I don't even have to worry about, you know, Nico or Gunner, which is the awesome thing about those two guys out on the field with me, is that when, you know, Gunner says set and we're ready to go, I know my only job is to hit the ball well because I know it's going to be in the right place at the right time. And it all clicked, of course, on that last field goal that we had.
Credit Nico. Of the 102 defensive snaps, I bet you he was out there for 95 of them.
Yeah. I mean,
I'm not exaggerating.
Well, he's on the defensive side of the ball normally.
Yeah.
Middle linebacker.
Yeah.
Tristan Ross got hurt. He was on the field the entire day.
Yeah. He is a workhorse. He is one of the guys to look up to on the team. That is for sure. And I give that kid so much credit because even after the, you know, I mean, like we had a lot of three and outs, you know, Nico's got to go in there, have a great snap, sprint down the field to go get the guy that I'm punting towards. And then he has to play all that defense.
He had a couple tackles as the long snapper on the punt team.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Huh.
He's an animal.
So when you're marching down the field, it was a brief drive, obviously. Do you have a preferred, like, hash mark? Do you want it in the center of the field, the right, left?
No, not really, because I just try to focus on really kicking the ball, because if I try to, you know, think to myself, well, we need to get the ball to the left hash or the right hash or the middle, then that gives me something more to think about. In the kicking game, you're just strictly worried about the one thing, which is making the kick. The more thinking you have to do, the more problematic the situation may develop for yourself.
Well, and it's like routine for you, correct? You go through the same thing every time, however many steps you take, and then are you just concentrated on the spot where the ball's going to go?
Yes, 100%, because I don't necessarily, and that especially with, like, deep field goals, but I try not to look up at the field goal post necessarily, because where Gunner's hand is at is where the ball's going to be. So I basically just line myself off of that and keep my head down and just worry about, you know, hitting the kick where it needs to be hit.
All right. I hate to even bring this up. Last year at UMary, you got hurt in pregame warmups.
Yes.
What the hell happened?
So before the game even happened, that Thursday in practice, I kind of just, you know, had a little sharp pain in my quad area. And I didn't really think too much of it because, you know, you know, you're a young kid. You know, you're not worried about getting hurt now, you know. But we went to University of Mary, and I was worried about my leg, you know. But I'm not going to say anything necessarily about it because we don't have anyone to back up kick. You know, I just kind of, you know, all those guys that, you know, people get hurt all the time throughout the season. So, especially the kicker, I'm not going to be like, oh, I'm hurt,
yeah,
you know, because they're like, all you do is kick, man. Like, what could you possibly be hurt about?
Yeah.
But being that it is such a repetitive thing, you know, a lot of stress on, you know, very specific muscles, and I went out there and I was warming up for that Mary game, and it was just hurting so bad. It was so painful, and I just tried to push through it, and I was punting okay in the warm-up and stuff like that, and then I decided, like, just to give myself some mental relief, I was like, I'm gonna go kick one more field goal just to convince myself, you know, I'm gonna be fine. This is just one game I got to get through. And I go out there and I kick that, and I just have the most excruciating pain I've ever had in my leg. And I ended up just, you know, having a, you know, partial tear, or as a strain, as they call it. When I tell people about it, I always tell them it's a partial tear.
Yeah,
because it felt a lot worse than a strain to me.
Doesn't help in the sense that you just kind of got to wait it out, don't you?
I mean, 100%.
Yeah.
You know?
So was that it for you for a while?
Yeah, it was it for basically the rest of the season.
Yeah.
And that was the most difficult part about last year, was just going through as much time as people spend in the training room, and then you kind of have your coaches like, all right, well, why don't we try it out this week and see how it feels? And with last year, I've never really been injured like that before, and that's why it was so frustrating. Is you go out there each week and try, and it didn't seem like you're getting any results.
Yep.
And, you know, they want you so bad to get back and play because they want you to, you know, because you're doing well beforehand. And when you can't do that, it's a really frustrating thing to deal with.
Obviously, you would have liked to have been on the field for the Northern State field goal winner.
Absolutely.
You can't be. What was the first thing you said to Mason Hofer after it went through?
I had to, like, fight through people and a crowd to even try to, you know, say anything to Mason, let alone would anything that he heard would probably go over his head, because, I mean, with him in that situation, you're just trying to live in the moment. And I was so proud of Mason, because before Northern, you know, he, like, there's always this adjustment when you come in from high school to college. You know, you're kicking off the ground, and it's just you're in a different area with different people. And sometimes, like, I had the same experience when I came here at first. You know, things just sometimes don't always click. And at the start of the season last year, not always his field goals and his PATs weren't always clicking. But the awesome thing is that Mason worked so hard at doing that stuff at practice. And when I got hurt, it's like something clicked in his head. And I mean, he was just able to, you know, get the job done, which is absolutely what we need to do. You know, like Bolte always says, you know, man down, man up. And Mason was able to step up, and I was so happy that he, I mean, to have that experience as a freshman, that's so exciting.
First collegiate kick.
Exactly.
As a game winner, yeah.
Absolutely, and that is a story to be told, you know.
That's one his grandkids won't believe.
So how did you become a kicker? How did that come about for you?
I was soccer. Yeah, soccer during the fall was the only thing I worried about for a long time. And there was a particular soccer player I used to play with who was my brother's age when I was in college, or not in college, in high school. And he was the kicker for the football team. And I always thought to myself, man, that, you know, that'd be kind of fun, you know, double duty, you know, get play games during the week for soccer, mm-hmm. Friday nights, show up and kick, you know, get a little bit of glory or something like that.
Yeah, you bet.
And he graduated, and so they were looking at, you know, having a new kicker. And sure enough, the head football coach was my next door neighbor. So I kind of, you know, I was like, well, maybe I'll try this, you know, maybe it'll be fun, you know, just to, you know, because I had a lot of football friends, you know, I didn't have as many soccer friends as football. So I was like, well, that's an opportunity to hang out with all my football guys too. And I just ended up picking it up. And for some reason, it kind of stuck with me. And it was just something I really enjoyed doing.
Where'd you go to school?
I went to Rogers High School, a little north of the cities.
Yeah, all right. And so you get that opportunity. But how does that turn into a D2 college kicking gig?
You know what? I don't know. I guess I think people kind of talked me into it a little bit. I think I kind of let people, you know, get in my head a little bit about how much easier of a gig it would be to be a kicker than a soccer player.
So you just stand over there and practice.
And you get all the glory, or you can be the GOAT.
Or you get hated.
So. Bemidji High School has a kid right now, actually, that plays cross-country soccer, and he's the kicker on the football team.
Right.
He is a three-letter athlete in the fall.
Well, and they've generally done that the last few years where a soccer player has been the kicker. How long in high school did you kick? 2 years?
I kicked from my sophomore year up to my
– all three.
Yeah, so the 3 years I was –
So once you get a college gig as a kicker – have you gone to any kicking camps or anything in the summers?
Yeah, I have this guy I train with during the summertime. His name is Chris Hughesby. He's kind of based out of the Maple Grove area, and he works with I actually get the opportunity to kick with a lot of guys in our conference during the summertime. You know, it's kind of a nice little competition thing. Like, I've kicked with kids from Upper Iowa and the Augustana kid, multiple people that play in this conference. And he knows his stuff, which is nice, of course. And it's mainly having someone look over your shoulder to help you train a little bit. And then I've also done these kind of development camps. They're this big organization called the Coles Kicking Camps. They say that they develop all the pro athletes, but it's a good opportunity to work with them as well.
Is it safe to say that one little mechanical adjustment can make all the difference in the world?
Absolutely.
Good or bad?
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, there's so much little technique stuff that goes into kicking that not the normal person would necessarily understand. It's not always as simple as just kicking a ball. You know, there's a certain place to kick the ball, there's a certain place to plant your foot, and there's a certain way to swing through, and there's a certain thing to do with your head. And it's kind of weird because it's different for field goals as it is punting. So there's kind of like this little adjustments you need to make when you do either or.
How much time do you spend punting in practice as opposed to kicking?
We have about the same amount of actual kicking with the team time. So each day we have like a punt or a kickoff or PAT or sometimes both. Like today, for example, we had kickoff and punt. So we'd go, you know, have 5 or 6 reps live with the team with both of them. But otherwise, the big thing I really work on, the only time I really work on field goals and field goals and kickoffs is with the team, because I've done that one much longer. And punting is so much more technical. It's so much of your drop and where your ball placement is. So a lot of times you'll see me pacing back up and forth on the sidelines at practice, kind of just dropping the ball, looking like I'm playing around. But much more time spent practicing punting and kicking field goals.
Well, there's a lot of mental aspect to being a kicker as well. Have you gone through the swoons? I mean, we all know it, like Blair Walsh and, you know, the San Diego kicker who's missed 2 game winners in a row. I mean, you can feel for the guy.
Right, absolutely. It's difficult. It's honestly a huge barrier because, I mean, it's almost like, I don't know if you guys ever knew who Chase Wakefield was. He did a little kicking at, you know, Bemidji a couple years ago. But one thing that really stuck with me that he said that, you know, kicking is 90% mental. And I honestly believe that it is so much mental because it is almost like muscle memory. You know, it's just knowing, you know, just in keeping those bad thoughts out of your head, because they really can weigh you down. I mean, look at Robert Aguayo for, you know, for last year. I mean, he most accurate college kicker to ever play. And he goes to the NFL and has such a tough time. I mean, a lot of it is mental.
Well, there's, what, 32 NFL teams?
Yep.
That's why there's 34 kickers that have kicked in the last decade.
Right.
There's only so many that NFL coaches trust.
Well, I mean, I think we can all relate. I mean, after a couple, you start to doubt. And
right.
I mean, everybody, I think, can put themselves in the position.
Right.
What's your distance? You've got over a 50-yarder here at BSU,
yeah,
don't you?
I had one 50-yarder my freshman year against Concordia St. Paul.
It's got to be a special circumstance to try it, right? It's not because you can't kick it that far.
Absolutely.
I mean, you're not going to kick a 50-yarder in the first quarter.
Exactly. We're not going to go down on our first drive, get stopped, and, you know, we have a 50. I mean, I guess it depends on how confident the coaches are feeling.
True.
Which, you know, I don't expect you to throw me out there every time there's a 50-yard opportunity, because that's not always the right call. You know, I mean, because for the 50-yard field goals, those ones, they're so, you know, everything has to go so perfectly. You know, there's such a small margin of error because the ball has to travel so far. It's the same way with, you know, Jordan Hine throwing the ball 50 yards down the field. You know, there's such a small margin of error to throw that ball in the perfect spot. And it's not always going to happen every time. That's what makes those people so great that can hit that.
Is that the longest you made?
Is the longest I've made in a game.
In a game, okay.
Yep.
And the longest in practice?
I mean, I've had a couple, you know, where
60 yards?
Yeah, when the wind's blowing a little bit, you know, you get a little 60-yarder in here every once in a while.
And there's no rush.
And there's no, exactly.
Yeah, there's no rush. It's
right.
On the tee or
exactly.
Whatever.
It's on the tee. You know, I don't think I've ever hit any live field goals 60 yards away in practice or anything like that.
The thing that goes way underrated that Brian has seen since he's got here that's gotten so much better is extra points.
Right.
I mean, when you got here, it seemed they couldn't make an extra point. I mean, it should be automatic.
100, absolutely.
You know?
It was terrible.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because in college, it's still a 23-yard field goal, correct?
Right, yep. Mm-hmm.
And 20.
Yeah, 20. It's at the 10-yard line or something like that. Yeah.
And your percentage is what, 98? Or,
yeah.
I mean, you missed maybe one?
We had one blocked
Don't
earlier.
Go there.
Well, blocking doesn't count. You can't control the blocked.
Not necessarily,
unless
no.
It's the trajectory of
right,
kick.
Absolutely.
Yeah. You don't go there. Nobody's perfect.
He's got a kick on Saturday. Don't go there.
That's okay.
He'll do fine.
I've put up the mental steel trap of trying not to let anyone get in my head anymore.
All right. You mentioned the 50-yard field goal that Coach passes on. So you now have to pooch punt one.
Right.
I have noticed in the last couple of years more pooch punts. The punter is dropping the ball almost straight down.
Right.
Where you're kicking almost the nose of the ball.
Right.
How do you know where in the heck that thing is going? Because
I mean, that's one of the reasons why I actually personally I haven't quite developed, and that's a very hard thing to do because that ball when you're turning it like that, there's such a small little window to kick that ball. So personally, I just try to kick the ball outside or out of bounds inside the 10-yard line. So I mean, those guys that can do that when they drop it like that, they're trying to get that end over end kick to have it bounce back. I've tried it a few times, and you can tell when I've tried it because it's not exactly the prettiest kick.
It amazes me that every one of it is in a shank.
Right.
So you are dropping a football straight down onto your toe.
Oh, it looks
right.
Goofy.
Yeah. There's a slight slant to it. Just slightly. It's a difficult thing.
Not much.
Not something I like to play with during the game necessarily.
No. Have you ever been involved with a fake?
Yeah.
Winona.
Oh, that's right. Winona.
Winona, yeah. We had a
only one that you've I can't ever recall another fake with
you. Only one planned. The only one planned.
Yes, okay. Yeah.
Bad snap.
I had an unfortunate incident against Augustana my freshman year, but we'll forget about that one. But, I mean, it was kind of similar to the one that we ran against Winona. I mean, we had the right look for it. I was a little afraid myself just because, you know, we're a little bit backed up in our own area. But, you know, if the coaches call it, you know, you got to trust them. And we just didn't execute it the way it should have been because, as you can see, I kind of got sandwiched a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But no fake field goals where they pitch you the ball or you run up for a pass?
I mean, I'm not going to say too much now, but we might have something in the works.
Well, there's always designs for stuff like that, right?
A lot of season left, Biss. We don't need to give away all their secrets now.
Have you had to make any tackles?
I have, yeah. I've had it. We actually had, I wasn't able to make a tackle against CSP. They actually returned on us. I hate doing that too. I hate having that come through because it's like, what? It's so hard when you're a kicker, when you're back there. It's like you're backpedaling or do you sprint forward at them?
Yeah, you got to try to cut off the angle.
Right, because those guys are coming full downhill and you're just, you know, a small guy.
And you're the last one left.
Exactly. Yeah. And usually the guys, you know, it's a little bit different in college and into high school. You know, you're about the same size as everyone. You get to college, everyone's much, you know, bigger than you are. So unless you're the Penn State kicker, I don't know if you're going to be able to.
Very true.
So you're the type to kick the ball and just hang back and see what happens?
Exactly.
And
if I see something start to develop, I'll kind of work
meander
my way
into
over.
That
exactly.
Direct, yeah.
But I try to stay. I'll even have some kids come try to block me. Something. I'm like, get off me. Like, what are you doing?
What
like,
are you doing? I'm not involved.
Like, why are you messing with me?
I'm not going to make a tackle.
Right.
I'm the kicker.
Exactly.
What is your major, Ike?
My major is nursing. I'm in the nursing program at school. So
how many more years do you have of that?
I got rest of this year and then one more year.
That's not bad for an athlete.
And is this it for you eligibility-wise this year, or you got next year too?
I got next year too.
Okay, all right, good.
So I got it lining up pretty well for me, as long as I take care of my business in the classroom.
Which is pretty demanding in that field.
Yeah, it's you know, it keeps you on your toes. It teaches you time management, time management.
Did that help you at all with the injury last year?
You know, it was kind of nice last year. I mean, not to say that I enjoyed being injured, but
you at least knew what was going on with your leg?
Yeah, I mean, not based on what I learned in class necessarily, but...
Well, it's a good life experience, though, so you can have some empathy for others who are going through that kind of injury.
No, that is very true.
Are your professors going to like hearing you say that you didn't learn anything in class about your leg?
I don't think he said it that way, Brian.
No.
You learn so much when it happens to you.
Right. That's very true. When you're put in the situation yourself, you definitely have a certain outlook on it from there on out.
So was Robbie named the special teams coordinator last year for the first time?
He was, I believe, yes.
What was that change like?
Yeah. Coach Robbie, like, some people don't always appreciate, you know, special teams as much as Robbie does. Robbie knows that special teams is...
33% of the game.
It's such a big difference maker. It's a huge difference. I mean, that can be the difference between you winning and you losing.
Hey, you had a great field goal to tie it. Two great kick returns last week. Got you touchdowns.
Yeah.
Without those three plays...
Right.
You're not going to overtime.
Well, it can certainly make or break you.
100%, you know, and it's something as simple as, you know, even punt return, you know. And when Coach Robbie, you know, took over and helped out with that, that you could tell. You could tell there was such a big difference. And not just on the way things were designed, but just his attitude towards it. You know, every day on practice, you know, it wasn't some kind of, you know, walk around kind of situation. It was just as important as the offense going against the defense or the defense running their drills. So then that's nice to see as a special team player, is people actually taking importance on how big of a deal it is to execute at a high level in that team.
All right, so last week, Augie gets the ball, 3-and-out, they punt, Gunner runs it back to the 3.
Yeah.
Did you have to find your helmet?
Yeah, that was quite a rush because he did. Well, I guess you never know with Gunner. He's such a shifty person. And when he breaks stuff like that, it's so exciting too. But, yeah, it was kind of a little scamper to run around. You know, where's the helmet? Make sure the tee's ready for kickoff. And we're on our way from there.
Are you a superstitious person? Anything you have to do before a game? Anything like that?
Not really. I've kind of tried to get into the superstition a little bit. Like, you know, tie my cleats up a certain way. Maybe that'll help me. But... my mind kind of goes blank during the games a little bit. I just kind of try to focus on the tiny little things that I need to do to try to make the big difference that we want. So.
Is it Blair Walsh that put the Snickers bar in his shoe?
No, that was the punter. Chris Cluey.
Yeah, he was weird.
He was.
I'm not eating that candy bar.
That's a little odd.
I'm not eating that candy bar.
But, I mean, otherwise, it's one of the weirdest positions in all of sports. I mean, either you are on and you are in front of everybody. We were talking to Matt Valentine earlier. That's a position that just kind of gets lost. It's so important to the game. But when you're on, I mean, you're the spotlight of what's going on.
And that's what's, you know.
You can sit around for 20 minutes and not make a difference. All of a sudden, you better perform.
Exactly. Yeah. And that's it's just one of the things that you got to take as a kicker is that, I mean, there is going to be a lot of attention on you, but you got to try not to think about it. Because if you try to think about it, you might kick it bad, and then that attention is not good attention.
Mm-hmm. Isaac Onerud, the Renning Northern Sun Conference Special Teams Player of the Week. He and the Beavers will hopefully be jumping into the lake right after the Southwest game on Saturday. Isaac, congratulations. Best of luck this weekend.
Thank you very much for having me.
Boy, this hour has flown
by.
That's
it. It's always fun to talk football.
It is.
Especially homecoming week.
Our thanks to Matt Valentine for joining us. Thanks to Isaac Onerud for joining us. There is a parade on Saturday. Full list of activities here.
1:30 pregame for us, right?
Yeah, on Friday. They've added some new stuff. Alumni leaders in the classroom. They're bringing a bunch of alums back into the classrooms on campus throughout the day on Friday. Just giving life
they've
lessons.
They've done that before, yeah.
Cool deal. Beaver Pride Luncheon begins at 11:30 at Walnut Hall. Cost is $9. The Honors Gala then at the Sanford Center starts at 5:30 on Friday. Saturday, noon, homecoming parade downtown Bemidji. Noon till 2 is the Hot Spring Spas and Pool Tables 2 Bud Light Tailgate Party at Diamond Point Park. Arbor Noosa pregame show begins at 1:30 with the Beaver football kickoff at 2 o'clock.
I'm ready.
Street dance to follow.
Let's hope the weather holds.
Volleyball's at home Friday and Saturday. Friday against the number one Southwest Minnesota State Mustang volleyball team.
Wow.
Saturday they've got Sioux Falls. Beaver soccer team is undefeated. They're at home on Sunday.
Awesome.
Lots going on with homecoming week. Hope you can partake in all of that. Certainly invite you to the Sanford Center right now. Korean national team playing the BSU women. Can't make it. It's right here on the Beaver Radio Network. Back next Wednesday, Go Green Mill Coaches Show here on the Beaver Radio Network.
K237FJ, Leaf River Falls. 50 years of rock and roll on WMIS-FM, The River.
September 29th and 30th, the Sanford...